Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Leadership in War: Essential Lessons from Those Who Made History, is a history and leadership book by Andrew Roberts that examines how major wartime leaders performed under extreme pressure. Drawing on nine figures from the French Revolution through the Cold War, including Napoleon, Nelson, Churchill, Hitler, Stalin, Marshall, De Gaulle, Eisenhower, and Thatcher, Roberts compares very different personalities and political systems to identify what wartime leadership has in common. The book is not a battlefield chronicle in the narrow sense. It is an analysis of command, judgment, communication, and character when the stakes are national survival. Its purpose is to show that war is a severe test of leadership because it reveals strengths and weaknesses with unusual clarity. Originally shaped by lectures, the book is concise, interpretive, and focused on practical lessons rather than exhaustive narrative history. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, war is the ultimate test of character and command. Roberts treats war as a revealing environment rather than merely a military setting. In peacetime, leaders can hide weaknesses behind institutions, routine, or reputation, but conflict exposes whether they can actually decide, persuade, and endure pressure. This is why the book repeatedly returns to the idea that war clarifies character. The leaders Roberts studies faced different wars and different political contexts, yet all had to manage fear, uncertainty, loss, and public expectation at the same time. That comparison allows him to argue that wartime leadership is not just about tactical brilliance. It is about whether a leader can remain steady when failure may cost a nation dearly. The book therefore frames history as a kind of stress test for leadership. Readers are encouraged to see triumph and collapse, not as accidents, but as outcomes shaped by discernible habits of mind and temperament. This gives the book its central analytical force. It uses war to uncover the traits that matter most when ordinary forms of authority are not enough. Secondly, the leadership paradigm, intellectual discipline, stamina, and judgment. One of the book's most important contributions is its attempt to define a leadership paradigm for wartime command. Roberts does not claim that every successful leader is identical, but he identifies recurring qualities that appear across effective commanders and statesmen. These include concentration, the ability to compartmentalize, planning, memory, energy, courage, steadiness, and confidence in both self and nation. He also emphasizes judgment, which means the capacity to assess people and situations accurately rather than relying on impulse alone. This is a useful framework because it moves the discussion away from vague admiration and toward specific capabilities. A leader may be charismatic or brave, but without discipline and mental control, those qualities are unreliable in crisis. Likewise, intelligence alone is not enough if it is not matched by endurance and decisiveness. By organizing the book around these traits, Roberts shows that wartime leadership is a combination of mental, moral, and practical strengths. The result is a model that readers can use to compare very different historical figures without reducing them to simple heroes or villains. Thirdly, how communication and charisma turn authority into influence. Roberts places unusual emphasis on the ability to communicate because wartime leaders must do more than issue orders. They must persuade soldiers, citizens, allies, and subordinates that sacrifice has meaning and that victory is possible. The book shows that successful leaders often knew how to speak in a way that was direct, memorable, and emotionally effective. This was not just a matter of rhetoric for its own sake. Communication helped create trust, discipline, and shared purpose. Napoleon is used as a clear example of a leader who understood the psychology of rank-and-file soldiers and recognized that language could energize action. Churchill represents another variation, where speechmaking became a tool for national endurance. Roberts also suggests that charisma matters most when it is linked to clarity and timing. A leader who can seize attention but not direct it effectively will still fail. The book therefore presents communication as a force multiplier. It turns formal power into real influence. This is one reason the book remains relevant beyond military history. In any crisis organization, the ability to explain goals, project confidence, and make people feel seen can determine whether authority is accepted or resisted. Fourthly, comparing heroes and villains to show the moral costs of wartime leadership. A distinctive feature of the book is that Roberts does not only profile admired leaders. By including Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, alongside figures such as Eisenhower or Marshall, he makes a stronger argument about the relationship between leadership and morality. The comparison shows that decisiveness, energy, and ruthlessness can exist in both admirable and destructive forms. Wartime leadership is therefore not automatically virtuous just because it is effective. A leader may possess organizational talent or personal force while using those abilities for catastrophic ends. This broadens the book beyond celebration and turns it into a study of responsibility. It asks not only who can lead, but what kind of leadership is worth having. The presence of dictators also sharpens Roberts's point that success in war depends on more than courage or willpower. judgment about people, purpose, and limits matters just as much. This comparison prevents the book from becoming a simplistic manual of traits. Instead, it becomes a historical warning that the same qualities can produce either resilience or atrocity, depending on the moral framework in which they are exercised. Lastly, why the book matters for modern leadership beyond the military. Although the subject is war, Roberts writes in a way that makes the lesson applicable to business, government, and other high-stakes institutions. That broader relevance is not based on a superficial analogy between war and management. It comes from the shared problem of leading under pressure when decisions are costly and information is incomplete. Executives, public officials, and organizational leaders all face versions of the same challenge: how to choose people wisely, communicate clearly, sustain morale, and adapt quickly when circumstances change. The book is especially useful because it combines historical specificity with practical abstraction. Readers see how each leader responded to concrete crises, but they also leave with a clearer sense of what leadership requires in general. Roberts's concise style and lecture-based structure make the material accessible, while the selection of leaders gives it range and contrast. What sets the book apart from many leadership titles is that it does not invent lessons from theory first and history second. It derives lessons from real cases where the consequences were severe and visible. That grounding gives the book authority and makes its insights more durable than generic leadership advice. In conclusion, Leadership in War is best suited to readers who want history used as a serious tool for thinking about leadership rather than as a simple narrative of campaigns and battles. It will appeal to students of modern history, military history, political leadership, and executives looking for an analytical account of how people behave under pressure. The main benefit of the book is its clarity. Roberts isolates a manageable set of traits and tests them against a wide range of famous wartime figures, which makes the argument memorable without oversimplifying the subject. Readers come away with a sharper understanding of why some leaders inspire confidence, adapt well, and make sound judgments, while others fail despite intelligence or power. Compared with many books in the leadership genre, it stands out because it is built on disciplined historical comparison rather than motivational generalization. It is concise, carefully researched, and willing to include uncomfortable examples, including destructive leaders, to make its case more complete. That combination of range, restraint, and practical relevance gives the book its lasting value. If you would like to support Andrew Roberts, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.